Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sunday mornings are often quite a rush, aren't they, in different ways? Either because we've too many places to be at the same time, or because it all seems quite necessary to get the service that we're currently engaged in over before the next one starts. Which is why partly we've tried to build into this morning's Eucharist a bit more space and a bit more reflection, and to actually enjoy having some time to enjoy being together with the Lord and with each other. We've heard quite a lot at different times during the weekend about ways of seeing and about perceptions and the fact that we all have different visual capacity, different imaginative triggers. We can look at different objects, different scenarios, different people, and come up with quite different results. I want to try out on you a description of a certain object, a certain artifact, and see if from the description you can picture in your mind what this is. I just check I'm on the right microphone here. Do you want me on this one or that one? Which would you rather? This one. Thank you. Good. Just right for spending time in comfort. The high and softly cushioned rounded back provides protection from drafts and gives the feeling of being well cared for. The soft, velvet-covered back cushion is wonderfully cuddly. The cloth-covered foam mattress is up to 1¾ inches thick and is perfect for restful naps. The low, wide entry makes it easy even for smaller and older users. The canopy is covered with robust nut brown leather on the outside. The finely polished leather is coated in polyurethane for protection from water and stains. It is easily cleaned with a damp cloth. Robust frame with sturdy ash wood feet. Cover is 54% viscose, 33% polyester, 13% cotton. Mattress cover and cushions washable at 30 degrees centigrade. What images have you formed in your mind of what on earth I am talking about? That wasn't a rhetorical question.
A deck chair.
A deck chair. Mm. A dog kennel. Garden chair with a protection over it. A swing garden chair.
It's a casket.
A casket. Well,
a baby's bed.
A cat box. Well, so far, wonderful ideas. Two of you are actually correct. It actually is a description for a pet basket, which in its large size will cost you £249. And will suit an Alsatian, a Labrador, or a Collie. Or you can go right down the other end to having one for a Spaniel for £125. Ways of seeing, different perceptions. We've spoken about how Paul's way of seeing was changed by the blinding light, which either on the Damascus road or in some other way shone upon him, within him. I came across a little aphorism on someone's office wall once, which said, difficult things we do every day. Seeing the obvious sometimes takes us longer. There's something called a BGO, a blinding glimpse of the obvious. And perhaps for Paul, it was a bit like that, on the road or in some other way, that blinding glimpse of the obvious, that all he'd ever known and thought about and had revealed to him of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God who'd cared for and revealed himself gradually and had come to be known by this people through history, that suddenly all of it both made no sense at all, but also all for the first time made full sense. Got a blinding glimpse of the obvious. And he thought, yes, that's what Jesus is all about. This is what life is all about. This is who God is. This is how it all fits together. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And so, that reading we heard from the letter to the Ephesians, where out of that blinding glimpse of the obvious and his reflection on it, Paul can then talk about Christ being the plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ. The obvious burst in upon him. But then we had that second reading, that cautionary tale with its slightly barbed sting in the tail of the tale, where Jesus says, if you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But now you say, we see, your guilt remains. That passage in John, that whole very, very, very extended story about the man born blind. It takes a long, long time. The theme is important for John in his development of who Jesus is. And it's a passage from ignorance to light. And it's played out at various levels. It's played out in the man himself, as he moves not just from the blindness of his eyes to sight, but from his ignorance of who Jesus is. I do not know where he is. I do not know who this is. To my Lord and my God. But the passage also, perhaps the other way around, from assumed and presumed light to a recognition that actually it is ignorance on the part of others. The darkness in that story is really about pretending that we do actually see. And it's the pretense that we see and that we know that sometimes perhaps is the most effective definition I've ever seen of what sin is. That sin is pretending that things are actually as they are not. Pretending that things are as they really are not. We all have Damascus Road moments in our lives. We all have times when that which we thought we knew and saw and understood, when we have revealed to us about it our total ignorance. It happened for me on the Isle of Wight ferry coming across to this very event, when Jane thought that she had lost her telephone or left it at home, did not know where it was. We thought the obvious sensible thing to do was for me to ring it up. So I did. And we heard the telephone ringing. Can I say this? You sure? All right. Are you sure? Are you all right? We heard the telephone ringing. And it was in her handbag. And after 25 years of marriage, I discovered the wonderful mysteries of what is a lady's handbag. The handbag proved to be of the same material as Doctor Who's TARDIS, as we hunted desperately for this phone to shut it off so it wouldn't disturb anybody else. in the frantic hunt for the ringing phone, there emerged, I've had to write these down to remember them, two diaries, old and new. Hairbrushes, two. Purses, two. Supermarket vouchers and receipts, far too many to count. And perhaps some not even in date. Paper hankies, unused. Credit card holders, can I go on? One full, one empty. Together then, and here I will draw the veil of delicacy, other unidentifiable or unnameable objects, artifacts and bits and pieces. And after we'd spent nearly the whole journey unpacking all this, there at the bottom was the missing telephone. And that, for me, was a kind of parable. A parable that, for me, thinking about it afterwards, had connections with the season of Epiphany, this revealing of the mysteries. Because as with that handbag, the eternal verities, the eternal truths of how God is and of how he deals with us are laid bare before us. They're spread out for our gaze and our adoration, or to be dismissed by us as being irrelevant and of no value at all. Just as all of us feel quite vulnerable when any of our inner secrets, whether of our handbags or of our hearts, are laid bare before other people's, so it is with God, that in revealing himself to us, in being incarnate among us, he too exposes himself to be vulnerable, to be welcomed and to be loved, or to be shunned and to be crucified. And in that tender vulnerability of the Christmas infant in the crib, and also in the day-to-day continuing presence of God among us in the life and death and life among us now of Jesus, that deep reality of all the ages, the past and now and for the future, is laid bare. God displayed to human view. And not all of us make the same of that particular perception. That reading which we began, or with which I ended my words on Friday evening, a long time ago that seems now, from the letter to the Colossians, that huge hymn of praise about Christ being the beginning and the end, that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's matched, I think, by those words which we hear read so often in the Christmas season, and of which there never seems enough time then to really reflect on. At beginning of St. John's Gospel, the word, the energy, the awesomeness which makes and sustains everything is laid bare before us and becomes vulnerable, becomes incarnate, becomes fleshly. And we, through the experience of those who lived and talked and ate and walked with Jesus, we see and touch and listen to him and share that same sense of eating and drinking with the divine reality, as we shall do here this morning. For that is what we do. We meet with the divine reality that makes and sustains all things here. God with us is a phrase both comforting and terrifying. And in front of that mystery, any explanations can never be more than attempts to put into words that which is totally beyond them. Beyond any words, the response of the Magi drawn to that infant Jesus by whatever means and in whatever way. Their response is just to look on in simple simplicity, to kneel in adoration, to make their offerings, and then to go home by a different way. Things were different. They were different. What they found was perhaps not what they expected to find. It changed their perspective on life. And from then on, being nice to Herod, keeping political rulers happy, was no longer part of the agenda. They went home different. We go home, hopefully, from every Eucharist, different. So back for a moment to handbags, both ladies' bags and man bags, which I believe are becoming more fashionable as telephones get larger and larger again, but also the metaphorical handbags of our lifestyles that we carry around with us and in which we put so much. When you have that kind of turnaround, Damascus Road type moment, of tipping out all of the stuff that you carry around in your metaphorical handbag, in our hearts and in our minds, and seeing what's there, some things you perhaps didn't know were there any longer, what will you do? Possibly stuff it all back in again. Except you may find it won't perhaps go back in the way that it did before. Or risk some changes. Even get rid of some things. Make space for something new. Very glad that in all the succession and procession of Davids this weekend, that none of the other Davids have actually used the little tale with which I wanted to end with you this morning. I'm very pleased about that. It's a tale about a philosophy professor who stood up one day before his class with some items on the desk in front of him. And when he started, without saying a word, what he did was pick up a very, very large and empty pickle jar. That sort of size. And from his desk, he filled it to the brim with golf balls. Then he asked his students if it was full. Yes, they said. Then he picked up a box of quite small pebbles, things a bit like those beads that we had the other night. Then he tipped those in, took it out a bit. Quite a lot of them went in. And he asked them again, is it full? Yes, they said. And then he picked up a box of sand and poured that in, because the sand filled up all the remaining little bits of spaces that were there. And he asked them once again if it was full. And again, they responded, this time with a unanimous yes. He then produced two cups of coffee from under his desk, and he poured both of them into the jar, because they soaked into the sand and filled up all the remaining air spaces. By this stage, his students were laughing. They realized they'd been fooled. That's what professors of philosophy are there to do. The professor said, I want you to recognize that this jar represents your life. The golf balls are the important things. Your faith, your family, your children, your friends, your favorite passions. And if you lost everything else out of your life, and only they were there, you'd still think the jar was full, and your life was full. The little bits, the pebbles, are the other things that mean quite a lot to you. your job, your house, your car, your health. And the sand is everything else in life, the little bits, and there's a lot of them. He said, if you put the sand in first, the little bits, there'll be no room left for anything else. There'll be no room for pebbles, and certainly not for the golf balls. And the same is true of life. If you spend all your time on the little things, there'll be no room for the stuff that's really important for you. So he said, pay attention to the things that really matter most to you. They all sat and thought about it. Because it was that kind of blinding glimpse of the obvious. Why hadn't they thought of it before? Set your priorities, he said. The rest is just sand. There's always one in every class. And there was somebody in the back who put up a hand and said, excuse me, you haven't told us about the coffee. What does that stand for? Ah, he said. Very glad you've asked me that. That's just to show that no matter how full your life may seem, there's always room for a couple of cups of coffee with a friend. And on that note, let us turn to offer our prayers to God this morning. Looking for Paul.